Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Never knew that I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay dues, so faithful. Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can't be paid up on the frame, dude, we stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, life is like a testing ground, it's to grade you. Yeah. It'll show you how you are to God or degrade you. When I pop up on this cold beat, I'm an angel. I can see right through your angle, dog, when I grace flow. Started out as hungry young bulls out the make dough. Make the system off the pedestal, using all this bull. When I drop the dirty heavy stool, I flush the toilet too. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect, but I put in work too. Cause faith without some work, dog, it'll murk you. Haters, haters been inside your head, outsmarting you. Haters, haters taking all your bread, outworking you.
Welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Monday, January the 7th of 2019. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my sisters, got a powerful show scheduled for you today. Today we want to do part one of a seven-part series that we want to embark upon as I reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, this series is actually part of the private series, and I'm not sure if I want to do all seven parts here on this venue, on Blog Talk, but I definitely want to do part one so that way the public is aware of what we're doing here at the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center. But this series is primarily for my members of the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center. But I wanted to make it available, at least part one, for the general public. So, brothers and sisters, we want to look at the knowledge. You know, it's really interesting because as I have this opportunity to sit here and talk to you today, there are many people that don't have knowledge, or don't have access, or don't have discernment, or don't have the ability to replace emotions with consciousness. Many people are in the position where I used to be when I didn't understand, I didn't overstand, I didn't understand wrong emotions equals what we call bad choices or problems. Right emotions equals what we call solutions or good choices, but no emotion equals observation, where you're outside of the matrix, where you're outside of this harmonious arrangement, where you're outside of this reality, because your spirituality is your causality and your physicality is your reality. Now, that's extremely difficult for many of us to understand because we live in a physical world, so we think that everything starts in the physical realm. And I used to think that way, and I used to go through life, and I tried to solve physical problems with physical methods. I tried to solve, again, a physical problem with my fist, or with my ego, or with my attitude, or with my emotions, or with my imaginations, and it didn't work. And I didn't understand why it didn't work. I couldn't find anybody that could assist me with understanding the mysteries. And why was it a mystery? How come it wasn't common knowledge for everybody to know the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? And what does all of this mean? So the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center is specifically designed to answer all of those questions about the kingdom. So there is a kingdom. This kingdom has a king. This king has some keys. And this king only gives these keys to the members of his kingdom. Now, it would make sense to me. Again, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I'm not the brightest bulb in the pack. However, I'm in the pack. Now, I got a house that this is my castle. This is my kingdom. And I don't give the keys to my kingdom to everybody. In fact, only the members of my family, my immediate family, have the keys to the kingdom. And only the members of my immediate family understand the rules of my kingdom that they have keys to. So I don't give the keys to my house. I don't give the keys to my closet. I don't give the keys to my safe. I don't give the keys to my garage. I don't give the keys to my car. I don't give my keys to nobody that's not my family, my immediate family. So it is amazing to me when people read that Yahushua only taught in parables and he only taught to his people, that people mean or people think that that is everybody. Jesus said himself that he's only come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus himself said that. This is inside of your Bible. I'm not making this up. So the 13th chapter of Matthew marks a new division in the history of histories. This is when everything goes from being physical to being spiritual. Jesus elevated the law and changed the game when he came on the scene in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. We specifically want to focus on Matthew 13 because Matthew 13, just like Matthew 5, drops some major knowledge about the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom. Now, brothers and sisters, before we embark upon this fantastic journey, remember this knowledge is only for the members of the kingdom. So if you're not a member of the kingdom, then what I'm about to share may not make sense. It may sound a little strange to you. And that may be because when I talk to, you know, my wife and my kids, like, we have a way of looking at each other and we can understand each other. So I know all of my wife's mannerisms. I know all of her moods, her attributes, her characteristics, her likes and her dislikes. Now, I would be really concerned if there's another man out there that knows my wife better than I do. Now, it could be, but I don't think so. I mean, it's my job to be conscious. It's my job to be aware. It's my job to over and understand my children and the members of my household are my kingdom because they have my keys. So my wife has a key to my car. She can take my car anytime she want, go anywhere she want, drive anywhere. She don't have to ask me anything because what's mine is hers, what's hers is mine. And so the kingdom is set up the exact same way. That is why this is so important, because there are people who they don't understand the kingdom and they don't understand why they don't have access to kingdom because they are not members of the kingdom. So the first requirement, again, for you to understand what I'm telling you today is for you to be the member of, to be a member of the kingdom. Now, that's a dilemma in itself, because there's a lot of different methodologies out there for to become a member of the kingdom. Now, I had a, you know, you guys know the story. I had a counterfeit membership initially. I had a counterfeit conversion, you know, because I can't find nowhere the requirements for admission into the kingdom that's based upon what's been taught today in modern day Christendom. Now, again, I'm not going to even get into that. That's a whole other study for another time. All I'm simply saying that you need to be a member of the kingdom in order to understand what I'm getting ready to say. Now, this is proof. This is how you know you're a member of the kingdom, because deep down in your heart, not in your head, you know what I say is, you know what I'm saying is true. You have a heart knowledge. You don't have a head knowledge. Now, you may have a head knowledge too, but you have a heart knowledge. And then something that's even more powerful than the heart is in your gut. Like in your gut, you know. Now, you may not like it. You may not agree with it. There's a lot of things about the kingdom that I know in my gut. Nobody has to educate me. I don't need no reverend, no doctor, no bishop. I know, because I'm a child. Like my children, they know me. I just give them a look. They know when I'm upset, and they know when I'm not. They can read me like a book. They know my vibe. Now, sometimes they may, especially now that they've grown, there may be a challenge to the vibe because they're not in my kingdom no more. Now they got their own kingdom. They're their own king. And they got their own keys. So when I go into their kingdom, I respect their rules. So I don't drink, but my children, they do drink. So when they come to my house, they know there's no alcohol here. They know I don't drink. They know they can't even bring alcohol here. But when I go to their house, there's alcohol there. And they drink, and I don't get on them about it. I don't talk about them or anything. Why? That's their kingdom. That's their domain. So they have established, or they set up their kingdom different from the way I set up my kingdom. Now, it says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. Whoops, sorry about that. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. Now, this is extremely important. Matthew 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And a great multitude gathered together up unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. So there was a lot of people. Jesus was like, okay, too many people, so I'm going to go hang out over here. Excuse me. So he separated himself from the multitude. Now, that's like a 3 or 4 hour message right there. The great multitude gathered together upon unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So he separated himself from the multitude. That's deep. And then we go to Matthew 13:3, where it says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. So Yahushua is talking to this multitude of people, but he separated himself from the people before he started to talk to them. He separated himself before he started to talk to them. And then when he did talk to them, he only spoke to them in parables. Now this blows my mind, because if you really understand what this is saying, so he only spoke. And it talks, and there's other places in the Bible that says this as well, that when Jesus spoke, he only spoke in parabole. So when Jesus spoke, he only spoke in parabole. So why did he speak in parabole? Parabole, the Greek word for the English word parables. He only spoke in parabole. So if you don't understand that, it's like I speak English. Let's say I adopt a child that only speaks Spanish. So in my house, I only speak parabole. So the child comes in, and I'm speaking parabole, and the child doesn't understand what the hell I'm saying. Why? I'm speaking parabole. The child doesn't understand parabole. So there's many people that's in the kingdom of God. They don't understand the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God, in the kingdom, Jesus only spoke parabole. Yahushua only speaks parabole. So if you don't understand parabole, problem number one. You don't. I'm speaking Greek and you speak Hebrew. We got a problem. So parabole, well, we can think of this word parable. So a parable means placing one thing aside or beside another. It means comparing one thing with another, similitude. So Jesus only spoke when he, every time he spoke where there was something that was being compared to something else. Every time he spoke. So when you read the Bible, you know that the Bible is comparing what is being said to something or someone else. If you don't do that, as you will see in this series, the problem that exists, the cognitive dissonance that exists in this dimension is due to the inability to understand parabole. So that's huge. Spend an hour just talking about that before we even get into breaking down the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven that's being taught here at the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center. So that way everybody that's a part of the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center, they can do exactly what Jesus did. So Jesus had this ability to understand certain things. Now, I know that there's a big debate, you know, whether Jesus existed, whether he didn't exist, whether his name was Jesus, where it wasn't existed. I've been through all of that. All of that's in the old, you guys know that. I use that name because, again, that's, we all speak English. We know that there's no J dog in debate, but at the end of the day, in English, that's the name. And now if we was all Hebrew, again, we would be saying Yeshua. If we were Spanish, we would say something else. All I'm simply saying today is that is, I'm English. So that's why I use the English. Now, I also know the debate about the physicality, whether he physically existed or not. Well, you guys know that I overstand. I got a 400 page book that's called Christened that breaks down the exo and the esso, what we're talking about today. What does that mean? There's an inside and an outside. You got to know both if you're a member. Now, if you're not a member of the kingdom, it's not for you to know. But if you are a member, if you say you are a member of the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center, that means that you're a member of the kingdom. That means that you understand the exoteric, the outside Jesus, and you understand the esoteric, the inside Jesus. If you don't, then you're not a member of the kingdom. You don't understand parabole. That's the problem. So I know a lot of people, they know the outside Jesus, but they don't know the inside one. So they are suffering from parabole. Now, again, this word, parabole, is the most important word of the kingdom because it goes on and it means a doctrine or a perception or a narrative that is fictitious but agreeable. Let me say that again. It is a doctrine or perception or narrative that is fictional but agreeable. Let me say that again. Parabole, parable, a doctrine. Now, again, without understanding this, what I'm going to say is going to be Greek to you because you're going to take it literally, and it is not literally. It is a parabole. It is a parable. That's what Jesus said. Now, I didn't say that. Jesus said it. Yahushua said it. So without understanding parabole, and we're not even going to go through the other words, five words below that word, unless I was just doing a teaching, didactic teaching, just on that one word, parabole, parable. So when he spoke to the crowd, he spoke to them with a parable. And this was the parable he said. And as he spoke, he said he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. So he's comparing something to something else. So in this case, he's comparing you and me to a sower who went forth to sow. Now, so he's telling a story and he's using this parable of a sower who went forth to sow. Matthew 13:4 says, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside and the fowls came and they devoured them up. So he's using this to compare it to what I'm saying, the words that's hitting your brain Jesus is saying, some of the words I'm saying, they have fallen into the wayside, and the fowl, loose and far, he's coming by and he's devouring them. So when I teach, people interpret different things and they reject different things. And so guess what happens? It's extremely important, brothers and sisters, because without understanding this, then you don't have keys to unlock the doors inside the kingdom to get wealth, to get health, to get wisdom, and to be in toe-curling relationships, because you can't unlock the door. There's a door between you and wealth. Do you have that key? Do you have the key to wealth? If you do not have the key to wealth, you will never experience wealth in your life. Now, this is huge. Now again, but we're talking about the kingdom. Now, there is an anti-kingdom as well. So maybe you can get the keys to the anti-kingdom, and you can get the wealth from the anti-God, and you can experience. But that, we know that that wealth comes with a price. The price is your soul. Now, if you want to get wealth with the anti-kingdom from the anti-God using the anti-keys, you will be wealthy, healthy, and wise, but you will have no mind, no will, no emotion, no imagination, and no intellect. The cost for admission into the anti-kingdom is your soul. That means the kleptonomics is the household management of the soul. You got to give up the management of the soul if you want to go with the anti-kingdom. Now, I was a member of the anti-kingdom for a while, and it, you know, like I said, it, hey, pays good. But like I said, you got to give up control, meaning you're a boy. Meaning they say, hey, boy, go pick up that box. And you say, yes, sir, master, and you go pick up the box. That means you're a member of the anti-kingdom. You can always tell people that's a member of the anti-kingdom because they don't got their own key. Now, I have my own car. It's in my name. The keys is in my pocket. I don't put the keys to my happiness in nobody else's pocket. I got a car, and the freaking it's registered into my name. I don't have a car that belongs to somebody else that they can come pick up. That's anti-kingdom. See, the anti-kingdom, your thoughts are not your own. He tells you what to think. In the anti-kingdom, your feelings are not your own. He tells you what to feel. He punches buttons, you respond. That's how you know you're a member of the anti-kingdom. You don't have consciousness, you have emotions. That's the card-carrying evidence of anti-kingdomism. Because consciousness is awareness. Awareness is experience. Experience comes from research. It comes from being around something or from being willing. That's how you know you're a member of the kingdom. Because if you're a member of the kingdom, you said, not my will, Father. Now, you got a will. The Father gave it to you. You got free will, although limited, but you still got it. But to be a member of the kingdom, you have to lay down your keys and pick up his keys because you're in his house. So your key don't work on my car. So the way you think don't work in God's kingdom. See, the keys is the way you think. So you coming to the king and you telling the king, oh, yo, king, the way you got this business set up, that don't work on me. In fact, the way I think, my mind, my will, my emotions, my imagination and my intellect is superior to yours. Even though you spun the universe, you made the stars in heaven, you know the number of hairs on my head, my brain is superior to yours. Now, the Bible says this way, can the clay say to the potter, make me thus? Now, every Negro I know, that's what they're doing. Now, they don't know that's what they're doing because we went to school. We went to elementary school. We went to El God, mentory, the mental God. We went to the God of mentality, and we try to use mentality to override spirituality. That dog don't hunt. I already tried. Now, I know you got to try it out for yourself, boo-boo, so just keep you keep doing you. It's okay. I ain't mad at you. I mean, if I did it for 50-plus, hey, you might do it for a little while. It's okay. That's why I can talk to people and connect with people, because I already been where you've been. I already know what's down that street. But like I told my kids, when I told them, hey, man, y'all grandfather, y'all don't really know him that well, but y'all my biological father, that fool don't remember nothing about my childhood. That's why I left when I was 13 and been on my own ever since. That Negro walked past me in the store, didn't even know my name. So I know what alcohol does. And they said, yeah, Dad, but we like it. We want to experience for ourselves. Okay, go knock yourself out. Why? I've been down that road. Now, I didn't drink myself. I just witnessed this and saw. Some things you don't have to personally experience, as I keep saying. I know getting bit by a rattlesnake might be deadly, and it might be painful. I've seen videos, and then they tell me that rattlesnakes are poisonous. And they look kind of poisonous. So I know. I don't have to personally get bit by a rattlesnake to experience the pain and the poison and the numbness in my hand or foot to know that rattlesnakes are poisonous. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to take somebody else's experience, and I'm going to use it. They're like, I know I'm not going to go on no safari out in nowhere where there's lions on the loose. Why? I've seen them maul people, even though they was in jeeps, and even though they was protected and this, that, and the other. So therefore, I know getting mauled by a lion, death by a lion, that's not a good way to go out, not for me. So therefore, this Negro ain't going to be out on a live. I watch them at the zoo. Why? I know lions, they eat people. Now people say, no, brother, they don't, you know. Well, I've seen, there was just recently a lion attacked a lady. She was an intern too, young girl, I think 20 something. It was on the news a couple of days ago. Lion, they shot the lion, but that don't bring that intern back. She's dead. Gone, like permanently. Like she's not coming back. All because she liked animals, but you can't tame a wild animal. You can't tame your flesh. Your flesh is just like a lion. Now, you got a problem. We all do. We talked about this problem already when we did the series a couple of days ago, where we talked about Romans chapter 7, verse 14, 15, and 16, the book that I have, I Am Too Human, where I revealed, explained, illuminated, and simplified that your flesh is your enemy. Your flesh wars against your spirit, and your spirit wars against your flesh. So right now we have a conundrum. And the conundrum is that we are causing problems by the way that we think. Because the observer, the watcher, why in the Bible are there watchers? What are they watching? See, the watcher, according to physics, determines what is observed. Let me say that again. Father, touch the minds of your people, the watchers. So the Bible says that there are angels down here, and they call them the watchers. What if the angels, the watchers, stop watching? What you know as the universe, it would stop existing. The angels have a job, and you have a small part of that job. So what you watch determines what you see. Do you know that the watcher determines what is observed, according to physics? So the angels, they watch. Now, in all of the ancient texts, now all of this was taken outside the Helios Biblius, but if you read the book of Enoch, it talks about this. Now, the Bible talks about this in John as well, also in the book of Matthew, when it talks about that the good shepherd, he stands at the gate. That word gate, look it up. In the Greek, it means portal. It means gateway. It's a multidimensional. This is where all the movies get their stuff from. So what is that saying? That is a mystery. That's a knowledge of the mystery of the kingdom. What is it? The kingdom is based upon codes. It's based upon gates. It's based upon portals. It's based upon the equinox. It's based upon cosmology. It's based upon astrology. So the frequency of different planets affect you. So that's kind of good to know. Now, I don't go deep into it, but I know like one of my good friends, Brother Rome. Like Brother Roman goes deep into the esoteric nature of what's going on in the cosmos. Why? It affects him. It affects me and you. So it would be good to know, like when the blood moon came, that's good. With spring equinox. Now, y'all do know that the new year is not in January. The new year, based upon the solar cosmology, is in March. March the 20th or March 21st, if I remember correctly. Because you got to remember, we got the Greco-Roman calendar. That means we got the Gregorian. Do y'all remember who the Gregorian is? Remember in that movie, Prometheus, those big old tall white dudes? They look white. They was Caucasian. Prometheus. Remember that movie that came out? That's the Gregorian. Those are the watchers. Those are the fallen entities. So we got a calendar that's based upon Lucifer's system. It's not based upon God's cosmology. So when you're celebrating the new year in January, you're actually celebrating Janus. Y'all know who Janus, the god Janus is, J-A-N-U-S? You might want to Google Janus. Now, there's people out there, and again, I don't really get too deep into this, but that guy, Santos Bonacani, Bonacci, whatever the hell his name is, you know, Mr. Astro Theology, he gets deep into that as well. Now, that's great. That's his lane. Like my buddy, Brother Rome, if you guys got questions about cosmology, y'all talk to Brother Roman. He knows all about that stuff. Me, I know about didactic teaching, and I know about Diakonia reports. Why? That's my lane. So the question is, what's your lane? That's knowledge. See, there's a knowledge that God has given you that he didn't give me. So I don't know. I'm not going to try to – there's no competition. You don't got no competition. Guess what? Nobody knows what you know. Nobody knows what Brother Rome knows to the depth and to the degree, because Brother Rome put in the time. He's put in the research. He spent hours. He get up early. He stay up late. I get up early and I stay up late to study esoteric biblical stuff. He get up early and stay up late to study cosmology and the sun and the moon and how and why things rise and set and how they affect us. That's his lane. That's the knowledge of the mysteries. The word mystery means mist, M-I-S-T. Mist, as I've said on many shows, means water. How much water are you made up? The human body is made up of what? 70, 80% water? Mist. The Bible says you cannot, flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom. That's so you come to me with flesh and blood. Okay, you can't be a member of the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center in your flesh and with your blood. Because your blood type tells me your God type. It tells me the mist story. The word mystery means mist. It means water. It tells me what kind of water you are made of. Because your blood can't enter in, but your water can. You must be born again of the spirit and of the water. So there is a spirit. A spirit is a ruling disposition. So right now, your disposition is ruled by the anti-spirit. How do I know? I call you, if you're black, I'm going to call you the N-word. A spirit is going to come over you. That spirit, that's the anti. So if I say something to you and love doesn't come over you, you still got a touch of the anti. You got to get rid of him. Or you got to dumb him down. You got to starve that fool. Now, you can't really get rid of him, but you can't starve him. Well, at least that's just in my limited experience. So, again, that's a key. Because if somebody come and tell you that, you know, kick the devil out your house. Did you read Romans 7 and 8? We read it yesterday or a couple of days ago. And it said, with my mind I serve God, with my body I serve the devil. Now I didn't write the book of Romans, I just repeated it. I'm just sharing this with you. Well, what is that? That's called knowledge. So if you don't know that, you're gonna beat yourself up when you do something in the flesh. And you're going to feel bad. Bam, the devil got you. He's the God of feelings. God is the God of consciousness. Those are two different frequencies. So you got feelings, God got consciousness. So you got feelings, and God got awareness, discernment. If you read Romans 7:14, it says, in me, my flesh, there is no good thing. Zero. Zip. Zada. Now, how much emphasis and how much time do you spend on your flesh? Combing your hair, brushing your teeth, washing your body, you know, getting your rocks off. How much time do we spend in the flesh, brothers? How much time do we spend in the flesh, sisters? If I'm a betting man, I'm going to say about 90% of your time is spent in the flesh. That dog don't hunt. Because you can't use that in the spirit realm. That's a key. But who's talking about that? You know anybody? You know any Reverend Dr. Bishop's talking about that? See, Jesus says something else. He says that he noticed that when he talked, the seeds fell. Do you know what that word seeds mean in the original text, in the Textus Receptus, or the Latin Vulgate, or the Septuagint? When you look that word up, seeds, he said that he talked and the seeds, they fail.
4098. Pepto.
The Pepto fell. Like Pepto Bismol, it's a Pepto. P-E-P-T-O. Pepto. Do you know what that means in the Greek? In the Hebrew, the ancient text? It means under judgment or condemnation. It means to descend from a erect state to a prostate. It means it's a sexual term. It means that instead of you having an erection, men, you know what happens after we, you know, get to that point and we, you know, we spaz out, then what happens after that? Little man just kind of goes to sleep. That's what that term means. See, so when a man ejaculates, what happens? Seed. That's how it's a sexual term. So he's saying that the seed is like a man. If a man is involved in a sexual act, and instead of him ejaculating, he, you know, pulls out, so to speak, and does it somewhere else. That means that it falls not in the place it's supposed to fall. Sperm was supposed to go inside of the woman's vagina, but let's say if it doesn't. We all adults here, so we can talk about, you know, anatomy, and nobody gonna get scarred. So that says that it's supposed to go. Men is, you know, when men have sex, you know, you don't want to pull out right before, you know, not at the climax. That defeats the whole purpose. Or maybe I'm the only one, but you know, hey, you know, men. It means that you're not erect. It means that you're prostrate. It means to fall prostrate. So let me get this right. So the seed, that helps, or that was maintained, the erection. So you, instead of, it means to descend from a higher place to a lower place. So something that Jesus said makes you ascend to a higher place. Let me say that again. Erection. That's why crucifixion, that's when he died, went limp. Then Jesus was erected, or resurrection, that when he had an erection. This is sex magic. Now, I've done many shows on sex, 666, which is sex, sex, sex. This is why it's called sex transmutation. That's why in the ancient texts in the Vatican, they talk about when the cock crowed three times and as a rooster that has the male genitalia. So underneath the Vatican right now, I have this all inside of my book, Vatican Control. When it looks at the ancient text, it was all talking about sexual stuff. That's why I talk about John Allegro. Again, Google the name. He gone now. He just had an accident like everybody else. Anybody who comes out and say the statement I just say and continue talking about it, publish books and go on tours, they come up missing. Everybody who says and compares spirituality and sexuality, they come up missing. That's why when I did that show, I did it on a pay-per-view show. Very limited audience. I didn't publish too much of it on the internet. Well, again, I was born at night, J Money, but I wasn't born last night, brother. So I overstand. They don't want you to know D. They don't mind if you got King James. I'm reading from the King James. But then I'm getting the definitions from the Latin Vulgate. Remember, Latinization is Satanization. So that's why you got to understand there, the knowledge of the mysteries, more than one, of the kingdom of heaven. It's a mystery. Jesus himself said, I talk to you, I speak to you in mysteries. Why? Jesus wanted to stick around too. But unfortunately, he started talking too many mysteries, and what happened to him? Everybody who comes on this planet and tries to reveal the mysteries, that they meet a swift and sure decline. Guaranteed. That's why I talk in circles. Again, I was born at night. Born at night, J Money, but it wasn't last night, homie. So I know what I'm talking circles too. Now, y'all get upset, but again, I want to see my children graduate. You know what I'm saying? I want to watch my granddaughters grow up. So, again, I was born at night. I just wasn't born last night. This word is a term that points to the original origins or the true meanings of under, over, and understanding. There is something that needs to be done while you are in the body. That's what the Bible says, work while it is day, because the night's coming. So Jesus is talking. Even Jesus talked in circles. He said that, hey, I'm spitting seeds. I'm the sower, and I'm sowing seeds. You're supposed to elevate, but these seeds, they are falling on the wayside, and the fowls, they are coming, and they are devouring these seeds. And the word fouls, if you look that up in the original text, again, this is a 7-part series, so I'm taking my time because I need you to understand. 4,071.
Petainan.
Petainan. So the Greek word petainan, it means winged one. Now, go to Egypt, look on the wall, you're going to see a winged disc everywhere in Egypt. Just type in winged disc. Go to Google, type in winged disc. And look how long it's been around. See, count the number of years it was around before the Bible came out. This is called Astro, what's old boy's name? I forgot his name. But anyway, just all you got to do is Google winged disc. That's what that word means, a wing. It means flying winged disc in the heaven or in the air. Who is that? Have you heard of Quetzalcoatl? Have you ever heard of the feathered serpent? What about Bene Hanikash? Oh, he got many names, but he's been around for a long time. But he's always associated with flying. That flying associated with wings. Wings is always associated with thought or thoth or your mind. This is magi. This is magic. This is magnetic. It's your freaking brain. It's cognitive dissonance. It's behavioral cladonomics. It's the ability to understand that there is a ruling disposition in the brain. And you got to get that ruling disposition out. Otherwise, you won't have consciousness. That's what Jesus was trying to teach. But Jesus was trying to establish it and try to share it with you so that way he didn't leave before his time. And he did a pretty good job of it. And so Matthew chapter 13 continues. Now remember, Romans 7:14 tells us, in me that is in my flesh, there's no good thing. So Jesus said, I'm speaking in parables, and instead of you rising, there's a winged disc, and it makes you fall. And then Matthew 13:4 says, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and a fowl came and devoured them. Matthew 13:5 says, some fell by the stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Or I should say they did not. And forthwith they sprung up because they had not deepness of earth. So they had some earth, but they didn't have enough deepness of earth to allow the mental disposition to take root so that way they could produce fruit, become erect, so to speak, ascend, climb the ladder, go to heaven, become one with the big G. Now, that's a key. That's just simply saying, okay, something's trying to steal the word. And then some of it, the word actually takes place, but it's not enough depth. There's not enough earth for the word to take root. So that way it can spring up, so that way it can grow and produce something that we call fruit. So Matthew 13, and again, this is not, I'm just going over this. This is kind of like the intro. This parable, I mean, I could break this parable down, but I want to get to the meat of the message. So at least to be able to introduce it on this show. So Matthew 13:6 says, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. So there's some words or there's some stuff when it's exposed to the sun. S-O-N-S-U-N. So some people can actually hear the word. They can get the word. They can understand the keys. But when it's exposed to the sun, it's fake. It get burnt up because it's not real. That's a whole nother study for another time. Then Matthew 13:7 says, and some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them out. Woo, that's a deep one right there. So, again, I'm talking. These were seeds. These seeds are hitting your brain, and something is happening. Number one, the parable of the sower, some of the seeds just fell to the wayside. It didn't even get in the brain. Then some got in the brain, but there wasn't enough brain for the seed, for the words to take root. And then some of it got into the brain and it started to grow. And then the sun, you heard some other doctrine, you heard some other Reverend Dr. Bishop, you heard somebody else come along, you say, well, hey, you know what? This dude is saying something contrary to what Brother Will said, or what the Bible says, or what physics say. And so you got the seed, but the sun, somebody brought some heat and somebody is saying something different than what God's saying. So guess what happens? It scorches it. It burns it out. And so you got the word. The word took root and it was about to grow. But you did what I did. You started entertaining some, you know, another doctrine. And that other doctrine is different. Now, let me make sure you understand, because this is extremely important. When I'm talking about this parable, Jesus is saying the knowledge of the mysteries of God. And hopefully the sound, Brother Roman sent me the sound. Hopefully, is anybody else experiencing any sound difficulties? If so, I can switch over to my other mic. So if the sound is still cutting in and out, you guys let me know and I can switch over. And okay, thanks sis. So Sister Colette said it's coming good through on her end. So when we're just about done, so we'll keep rolling. And so this is extremely important, brothers and sisters, because even though this is not the meat of the message, the meat of the message we're gonna get to is found way down in Matthew 13:9, which we're going to introduce today. But I wanted to go through this parable because the word is out. We live in this is the age of Aquarius. Nobody can say to me that they've never heard the truth. There's a lot of versions of the truth out there. But you can always tell the truth because it resonates with your gut, it resonates with your heart, and it resonates with your head. You have that witness, that triune witness. You know, but like I said before, Jesus said, I did not say this. Jesus said, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. John 10:1, John 10:7. Jesus said that. I didn't say that. Jesus said, all who came before me, they took something from you. They took a key. Now remember, there's a king. The king has a kingdom. The kingdom has keys that unlock doors. In my house, I have a key. And only the members of my house have the same key to get into the door, to open the, you know, closets, get into the garage, go into shed. Everywhere there's a key needed, all of the members of my house have that key. But I don't give my keys to everybody. I only give the keys to the members. That's what Jesus only taught in parables. And we broke down that word parable. So nobody can say after today that you don't know what a parable means. Anytime Jesus taught, he said he only taught in parables, meaning he taught to compare one thing to another. And he taught using a fictitious thing to compare to a real thing. Your job is to use discern. But flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom. You must be born again. Of what? Of the water and of the spirit. And we're going to break down what that means. Because a lot of people are not. A lot of people are just like me. A lot of people have a counterfeit conversion and they thought it was the original. And you can always tell because the counterfeit conversion doesn't produce fruit. It doesn't produce love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Now, what is those things? Those things are consciousness. They are not emotions. So I know a lot of people who have conversion and they have a lot of emotion, but they don't have no awareness. They don't have no discernment. They in Groundhog's Day. They keep repeating the same shit over and over again. It's a lack of discernment. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of discernment that you have no. I talk about the kind of discernment that you have implementation of what you know. See, it's one thing to know how to read. It's a whole other thing to pick up the freaking book and read. I know a lot of people that say, thou shalt not steal. They can quote scriptures too. But the Bible says the devil, he knows the word better than you. But guess what? Guess what's the difference between the devil and you? The devil knows the word, but he don't keep it. He don't implement the word. So I can always tell a true kingdom kid because not only do they know, they also implement. So what does this mean, though, in English? Matthew 13:8. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. See, when I left the church and got into a true relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I started producing fruit. Why is that? How come I didn't produce fruit before? Because all I had was emotions. Now, remember, there's two types of emotions, right? There's good emotions and bad emotions. So the emotions are like the fruit of the flesh. Jealousy, envy, strife. It's like the seven deadly sins. But those emotions have replaced awareness or consciousness or relationships. So I know a lot of people like me that have a difficulty defining the word spirit and the word love. Both of those attributes are equated to God. There's a scripture, it's in your Bible, that says God is spirit. There's another scripture in your Bible, John 4:23, 1 John 4:7, God is love, 1 John 4:7, God is spirit, John 4:23. So that simply lets me know that if you don't have spirit and love and other attributes as well, then you don't have, you're not a member of the kingdom. You don't have a key. You can't get in because the kingdom has keys. Because the king gave everybody that's part of the kingdom, he gave them keys. These keys are in the form of parables. Now you say, well, Brother Will, I don't know, man. Everybody got the key, brother. Really? Well, let's see what the king says. So Matthew 13, verse 8 says, but others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit. So if it's falling on good ground, if you're a member of the kingdom and you're serving the king and you got the keys, you can unlock doors. You can solve wealth problems. You can solve health problems. You can solve wisdom problems. You can solve relationship problems because it's not you. You just open the door, and the king, he put, like, in my house, you know, when the kids come home from school, they got keys. They open up the door, and they go into the refrigerator, and they open it out, and it solves a hunger problem. Then they go up into their room, and there's a bed, and it solved a sleeping problem. And then when they want to take a shower, they smell a little, a little funky. They go into their bathroom and they take a shower. That solves a stinking problem. So inside of my kingdom, I am the king and I've given the members of my house keys and it solves all their problems. So my children, they don't have no problems. They go, and you can tell, they're just happy-go-lucky. Like Janine and Allie, they just get up. They don't worry. It's really interesting. They don't worry about the light bill. Craziest thing since sliced bread. They will go to the house and turn on every light and sleep like babies because they are not concerned. Why? They understand universal spiritual law. Well, Brother Will, what do you mean? The Bible says, suffer not the little children to come unto me. Little children, they understand something. Now, when I was a kid, me and my brothers and sisters, we used to just run around and play. We really didn't know how poor we were until we got, you know, we kind of had an idea, but we really didn't know until we started comparing ourselves to other people. And then we start to notice. See, 2 Timothy talks about the wrong interpretation of the word. Do you know the definition of that word? I don't have time to break it down, but you might want to look it up. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, talks about rightly dividing the word of truth. Triple day, look it up in the Greek. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing. You know what that means? Rightly dividing? It means what I'm doing right now. Etymology. Now, how many Reverend Dr. Bishops do you know that use etymology? How many? How many? How many, brother? How many do you know? Now, again, the Bible says, I'm not making this up, this is inside your Bible. That's why I got $10,000 out there for a Reverend Dr. Bishop to prove me wrong, because I take it out of their books. Cognitive dissonance, brothers, guess where that's found at? That's in the Bible too. James chapter 1 verse 7 talks about a double-minded man will not receive. Why does problems exist? Cognitive dissonance. That's a kingdom key. See, in the kingdom, There's a key that will unlock a door that will solve every problem. So if you got a problem, that means you're missing a key. Now, I have some problems, and that's why I'm talking about keys. And every time I have a problem, the Father gave me the keys to unlock the door to solve my problem. Why? Matthew 13:9 says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. And then Matthew 13:10 says, and then the disciples came and they said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Oh, man, I love this verse. Because, see, that would have been me. Because I would have been sitting there and I would have been like, okay, why the hell is he talking about sowers and seeds and we hungry and we like want to eat? Why did Jesus talk about one thing that had reference to another thing? How can we just talk about the thing that he's referencing? Why did he talk in parables? Now, this is key. Because this is his kingdom. This is not my kingdom. This is his kingdom. Now, he's the king. And in his kingdom, he said, I'm going to talk in parables. So I can't go along. Just like you can't come into my house and change the key to my door. You can't come to my house and take the keys to my car. These are my keys. This is my kingdom, and I'm king. So if anybody run up in here, I got something for them. Just like anybody go up in anybody else's house, they got something for you too, unless you invite it. So there's an invitation. Many are called, but few are chosen. So the kingdom, see, it's just not like you just go in and just do anything you want. The kingdom has keys. And these keys are based upon principles. So keys are principles. These principles, they unlock doors so you have access to all of the rooms inside of the kingdom. So that way you can go and hang out with the king. So when the disciples came to him and they said unto him, why speakest thou in parables or paraboli, a parabola, what we said earlier? Guess what Jesus' response was? Matthew 13:11. And he answered and he said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now, when I was a young preacher, I used to ask a lot of Reverend Dr. Bishop this question. This bothered me. I didn't understand. Because in my gut and in my heart, I knew, and especially when I started getting into Tulip and John Calvin, and that just messed up my theology, man. Like Calvinism will hurt your brain. Y'all research Calvinism, that irresistible grace? Have y'all understand Tulip? John Calvin, man, he has some, you know, this predestination and election, the doctrine of election. Have y'all researched it? Have you done any study on the doctrine of election? Man, that messed me up. Especially when I read about Pharaoh, and I was like, say, God hardened his heart. I thought that Pharaoh just like, I ain't letting the people go. No, God made him not let the people go. What? Like, how does that work? Couldn't Pharaoh do whatever he want? Aren't we all gods? We can do whatever the hell we want, right? I don't know about that, brother. I don't know if that's scripturally sound. Because, again, hey, if I could do whatever I want, I'd be in the Bahamas right now, sipping on some pina coladas on the beach. So, obviously, we just can't do whatever we want. Otherwise, I wouldn't have a car. I'd be Superman. I'd just be flying around everywhere. So there are limits. These limits are called principles. They're called laws. So you need to know these laws, brothers. You need to know these laws. The laws of the kingdom are different from the laws of the world. And so Jesus came and he elevated the game. Let me say that again. Now this, brothers and sisters, this is going to be the rest of this series right here. I'm going to talk about, we're going to be breaking down the elevation of the game. Because this is huge, man. Jesus came and he elevated. He didn't change it. He elevated it. How did I know Jesus elevated the game? Well, brothers and sisters, that's again, this is inside your Bible. We've all read the story of the woman, you know, in adultery, or when they asked Jesus about adultery. And they said, you know, it is said in your law that if a man sleeps with another woman, bam. I say it, if a man looks at another woman, bam. So Jesus elevated the game. Jesus elevated the law. Jesus elevated from physical reality. He elevated the game to spiritual mentality. Let me say that again. Jesus elevated the game from a physical plane to a spiritual plane. Let me say that again. Jesus elevated the game from a physical plane to a spiritual plane. Oh, you still didn't get it? Okay, let me say it again. Jesus elevated the game. Jesus said, you say in your law, if a man sleeps with another woman, he's committed the act. Jesus said, no, he didn't. He committed the act a long time ago. So spirituality is cause. Physicality is the symptom. See, when you go to the doctor, what do they treat? They just treat the symptom. They don't treat the cause of the disease. That's why it don't go nowhere. That's what we do in Christendom today. We don't deal with spiritual cause. We just deal with spiritual symptoms. A guy goes out, commits adultery. We demonize that dude. We make him feel like a leper. I don't know why y'all do that. Because there's a spiritual cause. How about we deal with that? See, there's a spiritual cause for every dis-ease in your body. But you dealing with it on a physical, you're dealing with your diet, you know, you're drinking alkaline water, you're going to the gym, you exercising. Now, don't get me wrong, I do the same thing. I like to deal with stuff too. But guess what, brothers and sisters? There's a spiritual cause. It's not physical. So your healing and your prevention of disease, all healing, all, you know, wealth, health, wisdom, this is the knowledge that we're going to be talking about for the rest of this series. So, Brother Will, what do you mean? You see, it's extremely important. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, for Christ has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the form, or put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. 1 Peter 3. So this scripture is telling me about Yahushua. He went into prison. Some people say hell, or again, for me, it's the over understanding of negative thoughts. Remember I said we've got to replace our emotions with our consciousness. That's not a word for thought. So this is what Yahushua did. Now, it's exoteric and esoteric. That's an inside meaning and an outside meaning. Now, it's great if you have both, not just one. But if you got one, one's better than nothing. So Yahushua came and he did something. He went and he preached to the spirits that were disobedient. These were the anti-spirits that was out there roaming around, if you will. And so God raised him from the dead. Now, the reason why this is so important, brothers and sisters, is I talked about the difference between the spirit and the body that I mentioned in Romans 7:14, because the soul is in between the spirit and the body. The soul is the mind, the will, the emotion, the imagination, and the intellect. That is why the enemy must possess your soul. Now, it's not like they do in the movies. It's just separation. See, separation from God, separation from his word, separation from his presence or his love. Because when I say God, I'm talking about love. When I say God, I'm talking about spirit, because the Bible says God is spirit. A spirit is a group of related thought. That means consciousness. That means awareness. That means perception. That means the ability to understand. Now, if you want to believe in a physical God in a physical place, you know, up yonder somewhere, that's great too. That gives you a frame of reference. So I'm not saying I'm not against that, but I'm just saying, how do you solve problems? How do you pay your light bill? The only way you can pay your light bill is you have to internalize instead of externalize. Jesus himself said, anybody who do not believe that I came in the flesh, that word in the Greek, it means interior. Anybody who do not believe that Christ eternal within the body, we have this treasure. Where is it at, though? That's extremely important. when we talk about the biological expression that we call God. Now, most people, they have difficulty understanding what that means. And I understand, because it took me a long time to wrap my brain around it as well. And I'm not saying that you discount anything else. I'm just saying that you add to. It's not an either-or doctrine. I'm not saying that you got to diss one thing or get rid of one thing. I'm just saying that you add more to your plate. What do you add to your plate? You add a deeper understanding of the cerebral spinal cord fluid and this fluid inside the body called colostrum. Colostrum, where we get the word Klaus or Santa Claus from, this fluid that looks like milk and honey that the Bible talks about the land flowing. The land is the body. Flowing is moving. Milk and honey, that's colostrum. And so the body and the Bible, as I've been saying, the body is the Bible, and the Bible is the body. These two are linked together. If you understand the body, you understand the Bible. If you understand the Bible, you understand the body. The two are one. So we're going to be breaking this down during a series. And again, I haven't decided whether I'll be doing all seven parts on this venue or on my private venue just for the members of the Kingdom Midnight Training Center. But I need you to understand, brothers and sisters, so whether you get this knowledge from me or from someone else, you must understand this knowledge. It's extremely important. And that is the mystery that it talks about in Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. So Matthew 13, verse 11, and we'll close with this and we'll pick it up tomorrow. Matthew 13:11 said, and he answered unto them, because remember they asking him the question, which is the same question that I had, because I went to church for a long time. I was raised in the church, and I had a problem because I didn't understand is that, like, the people that went to church all the time, like, from my limited experience, they had no money, but they went to church all the time. They were sick. They was broke, busted, and disgusted. Relationship was whack. Life was bad. But we went to church, we went to church 3-4 days out of the week, every week. We went to church all the time, basically. But our lives, well, especially my life, not only when I was young, but as I got older, as a young man, because I kept repeating the same thing, Groundhog's Day. We all just repeat what we know. We all just repeat what we learn. And then I just got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I got tired of being broke. Jay Money, I got tired of just having more bills than money. And nobody could help me to understand how, while continuing going to a traditional church, I could increase my income, or I could get better health, or I could establish a better relationship with myself, with others, and with God. Nobody could help me. They just told me to read these scriptures, and I read them, and nothing happened. I had knowledge, but I didn't know how to implement it. The ability to implement, to take action, that was inertia, the inability to take action. What does that mean? The Bible says, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. That means the inability to take action. Anybody that can't take action don't have purpose. You don't know, you don't have a clear step-by-step plan by which to follow. That's the only reason you don't take action. People don't take action because they don't have a plan. They don't have the key to unlock the door to go in. So in Matthew 13:11, he says, he answered and he said unto them, because it is given. Now, that's the first word that messes up my theology, the word given, because it is given. Now, it's given. So I don't know where y'all from, but the word given, what does that mean, where y'all from? Where you from? Like, to me, the word given, that's like on Christmas, given. So when I hear the word given, I'm thinking free. I mean, that's just where I'm from. Like, if I give you something, just look it up.
Diddle me.
The word given means diddle me. It means to give someone something. It means to give of one's own accord something that is an advantage. Diddle me. So in this verse, he's saying that he's giving something or granting something or delivering something that is beneficial.
It means to furnish something necessary. It means to give to somebody or to grant without asking. Give. So that's the first key. Again, keys. So you ain't got to pay for it. You ain't got to buy it. This was given to certain people. He answered and he said unto them, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know. It is given unto you to know. Okay? There is something that you know because it was given unto you to know. That's what the scripture says. That's why I keep talking about your purpose. You know. It was because you got it. What does that mean?
97. Gnosko.
So the word know means gnosko. The word gnosko means knowledge of perception. It means to understand, to perceive, to have knowledge. It was where I get the word over, under, inner stand. It means for sexual intercourse. It is a word that has to do, like, when you have sex with somebody, that means you know that person. So it's not saying that it is sexual intercourse. It's saying that it is used. It's a word that is used like sexual intercourse. So gnosko means that you know somebody so well, it's like you have sex with them. That means that you're supposed to know yourself, your purpose, your mission, your destiny. You're supposed to know these keys. You're supposed to know this king. You're supposed to know this kingdom. Just like you know somebody who you have sex with. That's how well you should know it. Gnosko. It means to know something on a deep level. Because what is consciousness? Consciousness means familiarity. It means I'm so familiar with something. I've spent so much time with it. For me, that's didactic teaching. That's esoteric knowledge. So he's saying that he answered and he said unto them, because it was given. So what I do was given to me. My ability to understand the etymology of word was given to me. So J Money, when I see a word, I see the words differently from everybody else. So when I go watch a movie, I see things differently from everybody else. So I just went and watched Aquaman. While I'm watching Aquaman, I'm seeing how the movie is esoterically talking about the marriage between the left brain and the right brain. Because if you can bring two worlds together, Aquaman is the fruit of two worlds, the lady, sea, father, land. Them two worlds that are not supposed to come together, they came together and they produced something. So your left brain and your right brain, if both of your brains could come together and you have whole brain, you can produce something. So I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at, again, what was going on under the sea, because they was trying to wage war against the people on land, and they had no clue. They was clueless to what was going on under. That represents the unconscious brain, how you don't know what you don't know. It is unconscious. How do you know what you don't know? The sea represents the unconscious brain. Notice the sea was way bigger than the land. They talked more about what was going on under the water than they did talk about what was going on above the water. So I see, every time I watch, when I saw Black Panther, I didn't see what everybody else saw. So when I see, when people talk, I don't hear what everybody else hear. When I read books that other people read, I don't get from the book what other people get. I get other stuff. I get deeper stuff. Why? That was given to me to know. And so that's how I understand the mysteries. So you need your key that was given to you so that way you can understand the keys of the kingdom. If you don't use your keys, then you will not be able to understand. So tomorrow we'll pick up with Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, that says, and he answered and he said unto them, because it is given unto you to know. That is gnosko, the ability to expand your knowledge, the ability to be conscious. But what are we supposed to know? The myth story of the king's dominion of Oranos or heaven. But to them, it is not given to know. So we break down the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven tomorrow. So, brothers and sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because it will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Royal dream. Royal dream.
Up on my team, had to chase my royal dream. You can check sophistication, just evaluate the scene. Ain't it tragic how we pause our power based on what people think? It's time to take it back, cause we can't sit on a bench and die. Long as we divided, we'll never see true meaning. Lost inside division, living only through five senses. Imagine what else you missing inside that little vision. That's why you can't see them demons crawling inside your little kitchen. We gon' stay buff like highs and fly to true ambition. Till them numbers just multiply, then we can start to build it. None of you rappers wrong, but all of you rappers wrong. Why do you choose to be fake and give us the wackest song? We can just make a stand so records and labels can die. I don't need your advance, so I can just bubble and fry. Rather just make a band with all of my brothers and ride. Take over motherland, make all of you governments die.
Because you're